right. Praise the Lord. Give new strength to fainting souls. Last thought there, we just finished singing. A real blessing that we can find strength even when we're weak in the grace that God gives us to overcome this world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to You, Lord. God, that You would help us to lift our hearts to You on this path that we've chosen, Father. And Lord, we just thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy. Fill us with Your Spirit and give us wisdom, Father, to do Your will and to bring glory and honor to You. Keep us from the evil one, the temptations. Father, help us take Your yoke upon us. Lord, help it be light and easy, Father, through this world. Again, we just want to thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. Now large crowds were going along with Him, and He turned to them and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. I'm going to go ahead and read some more, but I want to stop there and just add a little something. If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. A lot of times we hear this word, hate, and we think that it's something that we would just have a bad feeling for. You know, I've heard this verse explained a lot of different ways and trying to make it sound a little better. But whenever you love God, according to Jesus, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Love is hearing the advice and the counsel that God gives. This morning the boys gave several comparisons to the love of money versus the love of wisdom, or the love of hearing the voice of God in our lives. When we love something, that is what we listen to. That's what we hear. That's what we do. When we hear God, we follow Him. And so that our family comes and says, oh, wait, don't get all carried away with this. What are you doing? You're hurting us. You're causing pain to us. But we've heard the voice of God. And whenever they come to us and we don't listen to their offers to turn aside, that's what it means to hate them. It's not to have ill feelings towards them or have anger against them because of what they're trying to do. It is, we're just not going to listen to them because we've heard something higher. We've heard something that is worth listening to more than their counsel. You know, it really hurts people whenever you give them advice and they won't listen to it. It almost feels like they hate you. because they won't listen to you. And that is what God's talking about. Whenever He says, if any man will come unto me, and anyone will hear what I'm saying, you're going to hate anybody else's advice or counsel. You're just not going to listen to it because you've heard something else. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's very simple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it began to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming up against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation to ask for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even the salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What I want to talk about this morning, first of all, is a decision. Whenever we hear the term counting the cost, it doesn't mean whether I want... He's not talking about whether he wants to do it or not. Whenever he's talking about counting the cost, he's telling us, advising us to sit down and see, am I willing to pay the price to do this to the end or not? Sometimes when I get a little discouraged, I get beat up, and I get down just a little bit, I get to wanting to have a little pity party for myself, for some of the things that I have to go through. I kind of go through a little spell, and I think, oh, woe is me. Poor me. Poor me. And then, after a while, a thought comes to my head that says, you have chosen this path, and you can leave it any time you want. I didn't know what the cost would be whenever I began to follow the Lord. But I knew that what God offered was something more valuable than anything I would have to go through. I didn't know what it would take, what it would cost, how difficult it might be. But when I counted the cost, I saw what was offered as the prize, not how hard it would be. I had determined whether what I wanted was more valuable than what God wanted or not. So it wasn't a matter of, you know, can I do this so much as, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I didn't know what it would cost, but I thought, like the disciples, you have the words of life. Where shall I go? I look out into the world and see what the world offers, and there is absolutely nothing that has any sparkle in my eye. I don't care about this world. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And what God offers. So sometimes get pretty dim. And it gets pretty discouraging sometimes. But I know that it's more valuable than anything in this world to walk in the light. Counting the cost. A lot of times we try to figure out, whenever we talk about counting the cost, is what can I get away with here? Where can I find an easy way? And I think this is what he was talking about. Are you going to count the cost until you get to a certain place and you can't go anymore? Or are you going to say, it doesn't matter what it costs, I'm going to go through it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to lay it all on the line right here. You know, whenever we find truth, we either love it or we hate it. There is no balance in between. There's no place of a balance. We're either in light or we're in darkness. And whenever we find the truth and we decide that we're going to follow it, we follow the truth and let the pieces fall where they will. Whenever we see what God wants and His will for our life, we follow that truth. And it doesn't matter that our parents come and say, oh, don't do that. It doesn't matter when our children say, oh, why are you putting me through this? It doesn't matter if it cost us everything. We've found truth and we're going to walk through it. That's what it means to hate those things. Those people that will come and try to get us just to shave off from the light that we've found so that we would turn aside and not follow that truth anymore. Finding a balance or walking in the light. There's nothing to compare here. Finding a balance or walking in the light. I've heard so many people all of my life talk about finding a balance. Oh, you're too radical. You're just going overboard. You need to find a nice, comfortable place here where we can just all get along. I wish I could keep in my mind and portray the absolute difference between light and dark, between God and evil. There is absolutely not one speck of middle ground between those two. There is not one little fine ballpoint pen line in eternity that there's an agreement with them. You're on one side or the other. There was a young man we talked to last night. He just said, you know, some people say this is hell. But he said, this is not hell. Just a young boy on the street. He said, there is nothing good in hell. Nothing good in hell. There's still some good things here. We want to try to mix it all together and, oh, there's a little of this and a little of that. We're either in light or we're in darkness. And there is no in between. And everybody wants to try to find a balance somewhere in the middle between these two that is just happy. I tried that all of my life. I tried to want to be saved. I wanted to love God, but I also wanted to love myself. And I tried ever since Ever since I figured out I had two hands and two feet, I had one eye, or tried to straddle this imaginary line where I had one foot in one kingdom and one foot in another kingdom. I had one hand in one kingdom and one hand in the other kingdom. I had one eye in one kingdom and one eye in another kingdom. Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. And as much as we try to delude ourselves and deceive ourselves that we can somehow straddle that fine little line between those two, we've just deceived ourselves completely. Because what we see is this fine little line, God sees as nothing but absolute darkness. I remember whenever I was 18 years old, a preacher preached, "Be either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth." And I was sitting on the back row of a church, and I knew that I had been a hypocrite all of my life. I knew that I had tried to love God with as much strength as I could, but I wanted to love the world with what was left. And you know, when you add hot water part of the time and cold water part of the time, you get lukewarm water. And I made a decision that day. I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm not going to chase after what this world offers and try to put God in it and have Him condone what I'm doing. And I left. I was doing everything I knew to do in religion and Christianity and trying to follow the Lord with what I saw as Christianity. And I thought, there is absolutely nothing here. And I walked away from that. And I thank God had mercy upon me. He brought me to a decision and I chose the wrong way, not being able to see any past what was right in front of my face. Instead of looking past and saying, I'm going to see what God says about this and what it really means to be a disciple, I chose to give it up from what I saw right in front of me. Instead of walking by faith and saying, I don't know what's out there, but I know there's something better, I chose to turn away from it and chose just to follow my own path because I could see that. But God wasn't. He was merciful. And He wouldn't just let me leave in that. And I think part of the reason is because I did make a decision that I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. Later, He revealed and showed to me, kept calling, kept showing me where I needed to be. That I wasn't what I needed to be and that there was more. And I began searching this book to find out what is the will of God. What is the will of God? And I begin to find it whenever I begin to read these verses that these boys read this morning. You don't lay up riches on this earth. Sell what you have and follow me. No man can serve two masters. Jesus Christ was calling me to give my whole heart, body, and soul to do His will and not my own. He was calling me not half-heartedly, not somewhere to find a line to walk down in the middle. He was saying, you're on the wrong side and you need to get on this side. And that's all there is to it. The rich young ruler came running up to Jesus, said, what must I do to be saved? Jesus told him a few things and the man still didn't understand. And finally he said, sell everything you have and follow me. And the man went away sorrowful. We're not going to deceive God with a half-hearted decision. I heard a man one time, an evangelist, and he could really preach. And he preached one time about a commitment, about laying everything down, losing your life, and following Jesus. Leave it all behind. Lose your life and follow Jesus. Sell what you have. Forget the riches. And he preached a good message. And a man responded. And he went up there and he was ready to sell everything that he had because he wanted to follow the Lord. And this evangelist bent down beside him. And I was on the other side of him. And this evangelist bent down and he said, "Oh, that's what I hate about preaching messages like this. Sometimes people actually believe it and take me serious and want to do something like this. And this, don't you think this over. This is a foolish thought. You wanting to sell everything and just go be a missionary." And I was telling him on the other side, "No, this is what God wants for you." I didn't know anything. I didn't know what it all meant or what he was asking him to do. But I knew that's what it took for me to get to where I was and to get to where what I was seeing. That there was a cost and there was a price to pay. And it was going to be a battle. And whether 10,000 can take on 35,000. It's going to be a war. But there has to be a decision of which side I'm going to be on in this war. We can't just find a balanced way in this battle. Like the evangelist was trying to tell this man. "Oh, now just don't get carried away. Let's keep balanced about all of this. Let's keep balanced about all of this." That is religion, dead religion in its purity. Trying to find a balance in something. When you walk in the light, you forget where the balances are. There's not. Jesus wasn't balanced. He was light against darkness. And that's shocking to the world. They don't understand it. They can't understand it. We're either in light or we're in darkness. People that come along, well, there's got to be a balance somewhere. We got Calvinism on one hand. We know that's wrong. Well, Arminianism, well, it's over there too. We got to find a balance in between these two. We got to find our theologies where they'll all match here. There's no way to do that. You can find some kind of balance, but you miss light. Light is light, and we either walk in it, and if we stop and try to figure out and try to count the cost and balance that cost out, while we're thinking we're in light and sorting out light, we're in the depths of darkness. You can't do it. Either light is not compromised. Light is not balanced out. It's either light and we walk in it, or we're making it dark. Trying to mix it all together. We told a man a few years ago, whenever we started understanding more of this ransom idea, whenever we started understanding more of what it meant to follow Jesus, and this man tried to tell us, "Hey, I like what you're saying. I want to write it out and tell it in a big book about how it's supposed to be." And we told him, "No. You'll just make more people religious with more light and more information and just mix it with darkness. You've got to tell people that they've got to walk in light before they can have this. Not just have a better theological... not be able to explain their theology better or come to a pure doctrine. It's walking in light or it's dead. It's just that simple." Whenever we began to understand more of the kingdom, we told people about it. Oh, I want to write a book about that. I want to tell them all about this. And we told them, no. We don't need books written about this. We need people to walk in this light and be the light. Whenever you start writing books about it, it's like the salt losing its savor. And it's good for nothing but to be cast upon the manure pile. It's not even fit for men to walk in. Because it mixes light and darkness. It tries to find a balance between all of this. And you can't balance light and darkness. You either walk in it, you walk in light, or you're in darkness. There is no in between. Grace and works. People say, there's a balance between you. It's all by grace, or it's all by works. There's a balance in between there. No, it's not. You walk in the light, and then you know grace. And you choose to do works. It's not a balance that we argue about on the street that the theologians can come up with this way or that way and then try to mix it all together and say, okay, well, grace does a work in us and then we start doing what's right because God's doing this in us. Try to figure it all out. When if they would just walk in the light, it'd all fall together. We spend so much time, these people, arguing and deciding what is this and what is that and how can we balance the Bible and make it all fit. You balance the Bible when you walk in the light. It's just that simple. You walk in the light. The law versus the New Testament. Everybody trying to balance it all out. How does it all fit? You walk in the light. You walk in the light. You do what you know to do. People, the reformers. The time of the reformers, it's happened all throughout history and still happening today. There's people who want to reform groups. We look back at during the Anabaptist time, the Catholic Church had become so corrupt. And there were people that rose up and didn't like that ugliness that they saw in the church. And so they set out to clean it up a little bit, to reform it. They tried to take something that was rotten, that had a lot of rotten fruit, and pick a little bit of fruit off of it to make it appear a little better. The Protestants and the Reformers tried to reform the Catholic Church. Luther rose up and tried to fix some of those. He had 95 places, points, where this has got bad fruit in it. He wrote down 95 things that said, look at this bad fruit. Let's fix that. He tried to reform it. And people jumped on the bandwagon. And it's spread all of these different denominations of people trying to reform something that's rotten. But there's a few people. They began to see this. They began to talk about it. Wait a minute, it's not just the fruit that's bad. The whole heart of the thing is bad. And there were several of them got together. And one man was kind of excited about this. Yeah, it is bad. And so he started figuring out a theology about it. Let's balance out a way here to do this. Zwingli. And there were some men under him that began listening to him. Saying, yes, what you're saying is right. It's more than just a reformation that's needed. It needs a complete overhaul. It needs completely thrown out. And we need to walk in the light and have a real church. And they began to put that in practice. And the man that was talking about it began to say, whoa, wait a minute here. You're going a little far. You're going a little overboard. Let's just wait until the rest of the people begin to see this. And then we'll begin to kind of put it together here with everybody else. Let's reform it in a better way. Reform it. And they said, no, we can't wait on a reformation. We see some light. And we got to walk in it. And they began to walk in it. And pretty soon, the man that had started the whole idea of presenting these ideas began to see, wait a minute, this is getting carried away. And so, what was light, or what he thought was light, trying to find a balance, pretty soon slid right back into the camp. And he became the persecutor instead of the follower. And those men paid with their lives to walk in that light. And the same thing is going on today. There's churches that are full of corruption. They're just wrong in them. And people all over the world are going to denominations. And they can look out and see there is problems here. There's a group of people in almost every denomination that's serious about following the Lord. And they begin to look among what's going on and they see all of these problems. They begin to see there's corruption there. There's problems down deep in the church. And so they begin to pick at the fruit and say, well, let's just work at this just a little bit. Let's find a nice balance to keep what we got, but just clean it up a little bit. And they're looked up upon, they're looked up to as being someone that's really spiritual, because everybody knows the problems there, and here these people are just trying to work these problems out. But then when you present the truth to these people, they run right back to where they are. There's light, there's darkness. There's nothing in between. When we give our whole heart and our whole body and our whole soul and all of our strength to love the Lord our God with all our heart, there's no room for in between. We make a choice and we pay the price. We choose a path and we accept. We choose a destination and we accept the path that leads us there. That's what this is about. Counting the cost. You get your eye on the destination and then you accept the path that God sets in front of you that will lead you to that. Or you choose a path. You choose the path you want. But in the end, you have to receive the destination that path leads you onto. You can either choose a destination or you can choose a path. Choice is yours. And if you try to make your path all smoothed out, fixed up, you're changing your destination. Jesus said, there's a cross I offer you that will lead you to the destination you want. A heavy, painful cross. And it's on a hard road that's straight and narrow. And you can stay on that path and walk in that light, and it will lead you to me. Or you can adjust it. And you have to accept where that path takes you. walking in the light, choosing a path. Sometimes you have to make changes along the way. I don't know how many times I've seen something different as I walked this path. You know, I could have figured out a way early in my life to decide, this is my path, and wrote it all down and said, I'm not varying from this in one little bit. I found it, and I'm going to lock down right here on it. And I'm not going to vary one way or the other of what I found. I'm going to write down my rules of how I'm going to live and not change one thing. That would have been the last step I ever took. And I'd have been right back in darkness after I took a step in the light. I know some of you, we've talked before, and you bring up things, well, that isn't what you said 5 years ago. No, it wasn't what I said 5 years ago, but I've learned a few things since then. And I see things a little different. Well, that isn't what you said 20 years ago. Yeah, I know. But I've seen some more light since then. And I've had to take a few more steps. And you know what? That's scary. That's scary. It's so much easier to find a step and a comfortable path and just write down the rules and build your little box and say, I'm not going any further. That's comfortable. That's comfortable. You don't have to worry anymore. And it feels comfortable to our spirits, to our souls. But Jesus didn't call us to a place of comfort. He called us to the light. He said to walk, follow, walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, it's almost like taking a step. We take a step and we walk about 3 or 4 steps on a level place, and then we see another step right in front of us. And it looks pretty tough. And it looks pretty hard. And it looks pretty different. We can either build our camp right there on the step we're on and feel comfortable, or we can keep walking in the light. Some of us have been accused of all kinds of things about not being stable because we stood against something. And then after a while, we saw a little more and we had to move on. But walking in the light looks terribly unstable to a dead, solid world walking in darkness. God has called us to walk in the light in this world. Counting the cost is not finding a nice, stable place to rest. Counting the cost is to keep pressing on in the truth, no matter what it costs. We've chosen this way. This way. Not this place. Not this doctrine. We've chosen a way. We've chosen this road. You know, as you drive down roads, a lot of times the scenery changes. A lot of times what started out to be a nice straight road turns into one that's full of hills and curves. A lot of times the weather changes and it begins to get dark or it begins to rain. And you can't hardly even see the road ahead of you. You can't even see what's out beside you. But we keep going. We've chosen this path. We've given ourselves to follow the light, to walk in the light. We've denied ourselves, lost ourselves, and taken up our crosses. You know, a lot of times we think denying ourselves, a lot of times what we try to do is we'll hurry up and do what's right in front of us so we can get right back to doing what we want to do. That's not denying ourselves. That's trying to serve two masters. I think a lot of times whenever God tells us to follow Him or to have Him first in our lives, we're tickled to death to allow Him to have a little higher place just so we can be right behind Him with second place with what we want. That's not losing your life. That's just adding Him to it. We're glad to do some really religious things and do a lot of right things just so we can get right back to doing what we want to do, really. We'll let Him have seeming first place. Just let me get back to my business here for a little while. I'll work for a while just so I can go play for a while. Isn't that lukewarm? Doesn't that kind of just mix it all together and cool off that which is hot and makes it lukewarm? I mean, we can bring this right down to families. How do we serve God? How do we serve God? If we can't serve people who we can see, how can we love God who we don't see? How do you serve your master? How do you serve the one that's above you? Oh, I'll do a few good things for him, and I'll just do this and I'll do that just so I can quickly get back to what I want to do. Is that the way you serve? Is that the way we love God? Do I love God that way? I'll put on a little show. Or does it really mean, not my will, but thine be done? Is the goal of my life to put on a little appearance of serving God just so I can really get back to my will? Wives, do you have your own agenda? But you subject it a little bit to your husband? The Bible says if we seek the Lord with all our heart, we'll find Him. What does it mean to seek the Lord with all of our heart? Find the best way that I can add Him to my life? Or do I pick up this book and I, instead of finding a doctrine, find, I want to know my master's will. What does my master love? What is the will of God for my life? How does He want me to live? Oh, He likes this. I'll do that real quick so I can get right back to what I want to do. Does that please the Lord? Or whenever we pick up this book, does it say, I see what God loves and I see what God hates? And I don't care what I want anymore. I want to please my master. I don't have a second thing waiting in the background just till I get time to get back to it. After I put in my time with God. That's not loving God. It's all your heart, mind, body, and soul. How do we treat each other? Is your master what you're trying to please? Or are you just doing a few things to get by? Wives, you find what your husband loves. You find what your husband hates. And you lose your life. You lose your life. And you please your master. You forget what you want. You find out what he wants. That's your responsibility. That's what you are called to do. Just like your husband is to do the same thing with the Lord. To lose what he wants. To lose his will. And to find what pleases the master. Not just put on a little show so I can get back to what I want to do after all. That's hypocrisy. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow. That's what He's called us to do. Children, you just give lip service to your parents? Find out what they want. Find out how they want you to do things. And please them with all your heart. You lay down, you lose what you want. You learn to be a servant. You learn to be a servant to your father and your mother. You learn to be a servant to whoever's over you. You learn to be a servant to your husband. And you're being a servant to God. Husbands, whenever you've learned that as a child, learn to submit to those above you. When you've learned that, not to seek your will, but to seek the will of someone above you. Then whenever it comes time to make decisions in your own life, you can find the will of God and give yourself to Him just like you gave to whoever you was under whenever you were younger. This has got to be learned from the ground up. Find out. You learn to know who you're under. Know their thoughts. Know what they love. Know what they hate. Know what pleases them. Know what displeases them. You find those little things and you give yourself to them. Whether you never get back to what you want or not. Who cares what you want? We've got a God in heaven that created us to find His will. Not part mine and part His, or not just do His while it's fun and then run off and do our own as soon as we get a chance. And it's a battle. It's a war. Our bodies and our flesh and our will and our pride and all what we want is just constantly waiting for a chance to get its foot in the door. And whenever we're just putting on lip service to what God wants, it's easy to get its foot back in the door. And it does. We've got to decide again. Not my will, but thine be done. That's going to be the test for your whole life. That's the purpose of prayer. Not to change God's mind, but to keep ourselves. Not my will, but thine be done. There's so much power in our will. When we give it and it's surrendered, put in its proper place. But as long as we're trying to hold on to one side and hold on to the other, that's a heavy, heavy load to try to carry. We're under condemnation. Because we know there's something wrong, but we still want to hold on to this. We may think we're going somewhere, but we're not. We're just deceiving ourselves. There is no skinny little bitty line of balance that we walk down through the middle of this life. There's no skinny little line that'll balance those out. That skinny little line is in darkness. One of the first messages I preached whenever I was... Everybody understood basketball where I was preaching. And I told them there is no gray area. We're either in light or we're in darkness. You know, in basketball they've got an outside border, a boundary. And as soon as you put your foot on that black line that goes around the gym, you're out of bounds. You know, it's easy to see where the stands are and where the players are. There's a big, bold black line going around the thing. But as soon as you put your foot on that line, you're out. You don't have to be up in the stands. You don't have to be just outside it. You put your foot on it and you're out. There's a straight and narrow path that causes us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. Lose your life and you'll find it. If you're just putting in your time so you can get back to what you want to do, your foot's on the line and you're out of bounds. Satan's ready to say, "Hey, look, God, he's getting back on my side again. Look, God, he's out of bounds. He's mine now." And God's trying to show us, get your foot off the line and get back in the game. Get your foot off the line and get back in the game. That's His mercy. That's what Jesus is trying to do for us. You get your foot on the line, you're out. And Satan's right there as the referee, calling and blowing the whistle. But God's saying, get back in the game. There isn't a balance. There isn't a part my way and part God's way. There isn't a part church way and part God's way. It's all or nothing. Count the cost. Are you willing to sign your name at the bottom of the contract and say, God, you fill in the blanks for my life. I'm committing myself to you, and whatever you throw at me or whatever you let Satan throw at me, I know it won't be more than I can bear. It may seem like it, but I'm going to go with that way anyway. I'm going to trust that your way is the only way. And I'm going to lose my way. I'm going to lay down my pride. I'm going to lay down my feelings. I'm going to lay down what I want. I'm going to lay down my ambition, my goals. The little song, my goals, my wants, ambitions. Can't remember it. My goals, my wants, my ambitions, wants and goals at His feet in ashes lay. Everything I've wanted in life, that I wanted to get out of life, I've saw burned right in front of my face. And things are still burning. God bless His Word. Father, thank You for Your goodness and mercy again. Lord, I pray that You'd help us keep our eye on the prize, Father, that's set before us, that pearl of great price, Father. Though we try to explain it to men, and they try to compromise and mix it together, Father, and don't understand, help us, Lord, be a light, be a salt, that there might spark something, Lord, that light may shine in their hearts and they see, Father. Help us be a witness for You. In Jesus' name, amen. You have anything you want to share?
Say amen to the message and comment just on the part about being called unstable because of walking in the light and changing. We've been talking about it recently, and I've been thinking about it. You know, there's things in the past, and especially since we've been thinking about, you know, traveling to Ohio again. I mean, there's people that I've met there that I've encouraged in a way that I like to, you know, find them all again and tell them, hey, I don't agree with that. This is the way. You know, but I think that's part of the cross. And it's not, I mean, you'd say, well, it's kind of my responsibility because I encouraged them that way. Well, maybe I did. It was a step that I took. But if someone is truly seeking after truth, they'll be using that as a step too. And they'll continue going. And so I was just thinking, I mean, there is that. And in the past, I've said things, you know, maybe too specifically, almost like making promises, and people hold you to it later, like, well, you said so, and you said so, you know, and then they use it as an excuse, you know, not to hear anything or whatever. So you know, you're slow to, I'm slower to make definite, you know, promises. I think that's something I've learned in my short little walk. But does that mean we shouldn't speak? You know? No. I had to think of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, about seeing in a glass darkly. Now I know in part, but then I shall know as I am known. Amen. So, shall we wait until we die and meet Jesus to speak?
Amen.
No. But, and then, as far as, but then there's, I think of this often too, you know, there's a greater danger yet, and you mentioned this, in writing. You know, thinking you've found something, and you write it out, and then later, you're either got to hang to your writing, or maybe you'll have to move on and realize that I don't agree with this anymore. But if it's something the devil can use, he's going to use it. Just like John Wesley, for an example, and the many things that he wrote and people used. And it seems like he changed at the end of his life. Could he bring all those writings back and somehow tell people, I don't agree with this anymore? He just had to do what he had to do. And the devil used what he wanted to use, you know.
Amen. God bless you. All right. Who's got the meal tonight?
We're
having it here. Okay. All right. Anyone else have anything? Well, God bless you. See you back here. We'll have, try whoever has a meal, have it where you can have the children's plates at 6 o'clock so we can get right. Just or at least get started right then so we can get going and we, the stragglers can come in where we can be ready to go pretty early. So. Just have everything set up where you can start at that time. But kind of let's go with that rule. All right. Well, God bless you all.
Thank you.
Whoa.